and a very good Friday morning to you folks out there in Radio Land. Nice summery day for you. And we do present to you the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship just down the road in Prospect, Ohio. Pastor Steve, how are you on this fine, toasty Friday morning?
It is kind of toasty, and a good morning, Adam. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker, Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And we're at 209 East Water Street. They're finally getting our road finished, the state route in front of the Church 47. So that's a great thing. People can find us easier. Our number here is 740-494-2222 if you'd like to call and talk to me at any time. And please remember that this is always taped, and I also do other things on the Pastor Spot. You can reach that on Facebook. And so check us out there on Facebook also. So, Adam, how are you today, buddy?
I am waking up. You know, coffee always seems to work, but just taking a look at things that need to be done and seeing that sun rise from the horizon and the thermometer creeping up every time we glance at it, that definitely helps the attitude and the spirit. And it's...
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Always good to hear your program in the morning. For many people, it's something they like to listen to every Friday morning. It has a good positive outlook on life. You'll learn something, you know, some food for thought, and maybe even a couple giggles here and there. It's hard to have a program where I'm involved in some fashion without a giggle or two.
Yeah. How do you feel about going live on the web? I mean, I know we're already doing it, but you think that'll be something that'll really take off?
Well, I will try to use the saying that says, minds are like parachutes, they only work when they're open. So there are many good things that can come of it. Everything in life, Pastor, as you know, glass is half full or half empty. There's been a lot of half-empty glasses in the last 3 years, and maybe a half-full glass is a better way to go.
There you go. Something you know, there's a whole lot to be said for security, isn't there? And there's a whole lot to be said for consistency. And I remember years ago, there was many years ago, there was a guy that just had it out for me in business. And no matter what I did, I always had that thought in the back of my mind, what was this clown going to do next? And and sometimes it's that way when you have a lot of half-empty glasses. You just can't get on a consistent footing that makes you just bowl forward, not have to worry about things. I mean bowl forward in a good way. You know what I mean? Where you can just get out there and operate and let yourself fly.
Using your natural abilities and instincts and going with the flow, it's part of human nature, and I would agree. And we kind of need to rely upon our abilities and what has worked in the past and try a few new things. That's all part of being a grown-up, as they say.
Grown-up, isn't that a scary word?
It can be at times, but when you've been a grown-up as long as you and I have, you kind of get used to it.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Hey, I do want to talk about several different things this morning. So here we go. One of the things, Adam, I know you're going to be bobbing in and out, so stop. I'm just checking any time, and I'm just going to roll, okay?
That sounds perfect to me, as they say. I will be here
all right,
for you.
Buddy. Hey, I'm going to open in prayer today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for all you've given us, for the many blessings you have. I thank you for this nation you've given us. We know that it was fought hard for, but we also know that without your hand, it wouldn't have happened. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for just the many opportunities that you give us to bring people to know you and to trust you and to love you. And I pray for those out there today that are struggling. I pray that we check on those elderly, especially that don't have heat, or excuse me, air conditioning. They don't want heat today. But Lord, we lift up them to you. Thank you for your love and your grace. In your name, amen. Well, I want to talk about a few things. And while we are on a live broadcast, I want to make sure I get a point across to those that just listen live on the radio, to everyone actually, but to those that are radio tuners as you drive down the road. You know, it's important for me that you know that I always come from a position of caring about you and people first. This has never been This program has never been about, it's about church building in the true example of the church, which is the church being a body of Christ, those people that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In that sense, it's about church building. But the program is only in that sense about church building, building the kingdom of God. It's not about building this particular church. I welcome those that come, but so it's not been a promo show to try to get people in the door. I suppose if so, I would have been offering a lot of door prizes and free gifts or something, or a catch. You know, one thing I firmly believe, and I hope that you've always got this from me, is that the only catch out there is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That is the catch. In everything we do, I know that in business, and in marketing, there's always a catch to get people's eye, to get people's attention, and then, you know, reel them in. I firmly believe, and I believe with all my heart, that if we trust the Word of God, if we teach the Word of God, if we're true to the Word of God, if we follow it without seeing error, knowing that the Bible is perfect in its writing, is perfect in the way God wrote it, God will give the increase. And he does, and he has. My, has he. We have been very blessed to be able to reach the people in Marion, and we'll continue, obviously, to do so. But, you know, we're in a difficult time. And I would hope that, I know we have difficult subjects sometimes, but I would hope that this program can be a breath of fresh air to some people that that do want to hear and know truth, and they want to follow truth, and they're looking for, they're looking to find that in a pastor and a pastor teacher. Many times, I made a post yesterday that I believe is oh so true, that the best way, or the easiest way, I should say, not the best, the easiest way to not get criticized for what you do in service and in serving other people is to do nothing at all, because then there's nothing to criticize. But however, those of us that love God cannot do that. We are going to serve regardless of being criticized or not. And you know, there will always be those that criticize. I feel bad for people that live their lives needing to find a reason to pick other people apart, to find their flaws. You know, I've said this many times at this church, that we are the island of misfit toys, or the Heinz 57 group. I don't think that if you're ever going to find a pattern here, I would pray people would say that would be a pattern of love. In a pattern of loving other people and loving God. And, you know, because of that, when we have people in ministry, in different parts of ministry, people serving, they're not always polished. And if you're looking for polished, you're in the wrong place. I want to see service from the heart here, whether it's in singing or music, whether it's in teaching our children, whether it's in reaching out in the community, whether it's in feeding people, whether it's in feeding children. As a pastor here, I want to see people do that from a heart of love for God, which transfers into love for other people, not as a thing of let's go in and run it through and buff it 20 times and see how it shines so that we're perfect. I could only imagine when that little group of disciples of Jesus would come into town, what they looked like and what they spoke like. And when they sang their praises to God, I could only imagine what they sounded like. But you know what? One thing that I do know, they sounded like joy. They sounded like joy to God's ears. And that's what I'm looking for. We're not perfect. We put too many things on ourselves. I can always tell, you know, a lot of times when it's about someone else, because they will. It's just obvious. Am I right? Do you ever have that one person that in a group, whether it's in a play or whether it's in a You ever notice, like in bands, we have what we call the front man, and the front man gets all the attention while the other people do his backup. And you know, we see that in bands and in music. And it's sad today that I think in many cases we've seen pastors, we've seen worship leaders, we've seen people that have to be the front person. They've got to have their voice elevated. They've got to have, you know, be out there. And it's almost like you wonder why people wonder why people in the world look at the church and say that it's hypocritical and phony. And it's because we have actors. And I pray that here you never see an actor. I pray that when you've watched our program, whether it's on the live feed or whether it's on radio, that you don't see actors. You see reality. And if that's what you're looking for, you know, please continue to tune into WWGH and also to the pastor spot, and come to the church if you'd like to. If you need help with the church in your area, maybe some encouragement of it growing and building, let me know. This church is not about, like I said, it's about the kingdom. So I do want to get those points across. Another point that I really like to get across today is the fact that we're not going to get anywhere with a little bit of Jesus. I know that God is all sovereign. I truly believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and he did it as he said. And we're seeing more and more evidence of that. It's a shame that no one will show it to you, and that as these evidences come out, they're hidden behind a bushel, so no one will see them. They're not given the time of air, but more and more evidences of the age of our earth. Just amazing. You know, I've asked you guys, there's a free magazine called Acts and Facts, put out by the Creation Research Council. And it's just an amazing scientific thing to look at, that you read it and it just blows your mind to understand how this earth was so wonderfully and masterfully created. But we've been told that none of that's true by a group of people that do not desire to believe in God. If I don't believe in God, I'm going to go another route, right? And I'm certainly not going to promote what's of God if I indeed am godless. And make no mistake, these people are godless. And I'll tell you why. They're godless because God says, take all of me or take none of me. He's not a little bit of God. You're going to believe him or you're not. Either he's telling the truth or he's a liar. When Jesus supported the scriptures, Jesus supported our scriptures. So is Jesus going to be a liar? Well, if he's a liar, he certainly wasn't a good person. When he said he was the Son of God, was he a Son of God or a fake? I think the evidence shows us that the evidence will show us that in no way, shape, or form was Jesus ever a fake. And he was who he said he was. But, you know, as we look out around us every day, and you listen to this, you think, oh, that sounds great, great, Pastor. But, you know, Jesus always told the truth. And so I desire as a pastor, as he leads me, to tell you the truth. I'm never going to tell you something that is just something I want to say to make you like me. I desire for God to like me. And through his love, I think that helps other people to like me. But I don't want to do it in a false way. And that being said, we've got to decide and make a decision. Point blank, you out there driving in your car, listening from work, maybe you're sitting at home listening, wherever you're at today, you have got to make a decision. Am I going to follow what God says? Am I going to believe in Jesus Christ and what he said? Am I going to start with this firm foundation and move forward? Or am I just going to stay keeping on things on the road the way they are, the ups and the downs, and the ups and the downs, and you know, the broken relationships and the no hope? I think that's one of the biggest things we've lost in the last 4 or 5 decades, has been that feeling of hope that everyone had. I know that, oh good, we welcome Frank coming in today. Frank, come on in here, buddy, and have a seat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Colossians 6, by chance?
Not this morning, you sound like we are.
I don't know, I was kind of reading and studying that the other day.
Come on over a little bit.
Am I there?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I was just kind of studying that the other day, and, you know, when a person comes to know Christ, all the bondage that we have, the chains and everything, they come off. And they align themselves with the church. And Paul is very specific to the church, the people in Colossians. The warning that he has, not to go back or not to let people try to bound you with legalism that was happening at that time. Of course, he was speaking to the Jews as such as, you know, the rabbis and all the rules, regulations of the
Torah, right, which were not necessary.
No, it's not. And he talks about freedom that we have as Christians. And we're not bound by that.
I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, so many people think that following Christ, becoming a Christian, is bondage. And it's the opposite.
Oh, absolutely.
It's great freedom. I mean, you're free to know your sins are forgiven. You don't have to walk in guilt. You're free to know that God loves you and he guides you and he's going to direct your paths. You can make plans and rest in that and know that it's going to be okay.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, people get up every day. I can't imagine. You know, when I go back, let me reel back here a minute to the height of COVID, right in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we were told in the height of COVID right in the building, this could wipe out most of us. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And that was almost a belief. But keep taping Fred. Fred.
Because you said, where did Fred come from?
Because our live feed is going in and out horribly today. If you want to tape, I'd appreciate it. So anyway, right at the height of COVID, everyone was so afraid.
Yes.
And I mean, I know one guy in particular, man, he would not leave his house. He wouldn't let anyone come around him. He was just scared to death. And while I did not want to get it, my brother almost died from it, you know that.
Yeah.
And while I did not want to get it, I didn't live in fear of it because I knew that if it was something that happened, not only would my life be fine if I died and knew the Lord, but my life would also be taken care of in the fact that my family and God would have a plan for all of them.
Oh,
if it's part of God's plan, actually, what should that sound like?
There you go. No, I just have to.
If it's part of God's plan, then we don't have to. We can go on and be okay. I mean, yeah, there's an honest fear about things. Certainly, I'm not going to say, hey, look, God's got me. I'm going to go walk down a dark alley at night and whistling along my way. You know,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, we're not supposed to do that. We're to take care of ourselves and take precautions. But what I'm trying to get across to people today, Frank, is to quit being afraid.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we talk about all this stuff on the show, about trusting God, about him having a plan for your life. So are we going to take hold of it? I mean, it's such a simple thing to do, and yet it's not. The simplicity of it is the fact that all we have to do is say, recognize and know the Lord, my life. There's two ways our life can be, either with sin or without sin. And the only way they're going to be out without sin is to trust him for dying on the cross and paying for it with his shed blood. And we recognize and tell him, Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you please thank you for dying for my sin? And Lord, I ask you to cleanse me of my sin and to come into my life and me to walk and live with you. There you go.
That's
the simplicity of it. Now, the difficulty of it, and I shouldn't, maybe difficulty is the wrong word, is that we're going to have collateral things from it. We're going to have family and friends and say, oh, man, you got your religion on. You know, when I surrendered my walk to the Lord several years ago, many, many years ago, I knew there were going to be people and friends that probably would not remain friends.
Right.
And
And not because I didn't want to remain their friend. I'm sure I was made fun of. But you know, wow, it's the best decision I ever made. And God brought so many more wonderful people into my life that never would have been in my life otherwise. Right. And it's really sad. I look at some of those people that were friends or that were associates of mine, and I never hid the truth from them. It isn't like I washed my hands of them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I was walking in new life, like you were just talking about, walking in new life. I watched so many of them that refused to do that, that aren't even with us anymore. Mm-hmm. Because they stayed in the same old worldly habits, the same old depression, the same old broken relationships, the same old self-medication, because they're not happy, because they don't have hope, and they're gone now. And they died not knowing the Lord and not having that eternity with him. And that's what I do not, you know, I don't want to see that happen to anyone.
And,
you know, that's not coming from a position of who do you think you are. That's coming in from a position of truth. You know, Frank, if I'm driving down the road and someone flashes their headlights at me and I stop and see, and they slow down and I stop and roll down my window and they tell me that I need to turn around and go the other way because there's a bridge out. Mm-hmm. And I say, who do you think you are, you know, stopping me and, sure, and telling me this, you know, you probably just want to, you know, whatever, you know, but chastising me for warning them, basically. And I drive on my way and I go off the bridge and that's the end of it. Or do I say, wow, why is this person telling me this? Why are Steve and Frank on the radio talking to people about knowing Jesus Christ? What do they want? Do they want in my pocket?
Oh, that's one of the first.
Oh, that's it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, money. Yeah, it's money motivated.
No,
you know.
No, I think we all know better than that. If you guys want to see my financial statement. But anyway, then the other thing is, do we want popularity? Well, obviously not. That's not. We're not going to get popular doing this because,
no.
You know, the Bible tells us when we tell the truth and we share the gospel, those that will. Believe it, it's a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. But to those that reject it, it will be despised.
Yeah.
And usually what you can add to that being despised is the fact that we'll be despised too.
Mm-hmm.
For telling it. And it's a sad thing. I think people need to realize that why are these people doing it? Why are the ladies out in front of the church right now giving away free coffee and pastries? Why are they doing that?
Well, for a testimony, just to meet people, let people know that they're, you know, I came up and Shelly gave me a beautiful smile.
Oh, and then a blessing. These ladies out here, one lady, and I don't know who's out there now, but one lady I know is on her way to work. Another young lady that is such a blessing to us, whether it's on Sunday morning when she sings or the other day morning she did children's time on Thursday that we have, mm-hmm. and she's always there. But you know, she got up very early this morning to come up and help her mom set up and get things ready. You know, her mom was up late with her kids, mm-hmm. Had to get a toddler up and bring her in and get her settled into the nursery to playing so she could go out and get this coffee ready for people. Another mom that was out there this morning, I know that she had three little boys at home that are a handful. And, you know, these ladies, they get up and they come in here at 6:30 in the morning on a Friday, and they do it because they want to be an encouragement to other people.
And, you know, Steve, I was thinking about that, Pastor. A lot of times, some of these people, there's a few out there that this is the only connection they have with the church.
I know. And, you know, you're right. And there's, I was just thinking, there's other people that we know will never come here to church. They're very happy in the church they're in. But it's that community, mm-hmm. out there. It's that community, that body of Christ, that community that comes together on common ground in Jesus Christ. And that's how we get to know each other. It breaks my heart. It saddens me to see so many, and a lot of times it's ladies. When I think of ladies, it's easy to talk to your pastor, but sometimes ladies need to talk to ladies.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, exactly. And I would prefer that. Obviously, yeah. I would prefer that. But, you know, I look at it, some of them hold in so much, and they have no one to talk to,
right.
and no one to release it to. And why is that? I'll tell you why it is. Because they haven't trusted someone to do so.
Yeah.
And when you build that community with the right people, mm-hmm. you have someone that you can go to and say, hey, look, I'm really struggling with my marriage. Can you mm-hmm. help me? I'm really struggling with one of my teenage kids. What have you done? And that is one of the things that the church offers that people aren't getting because they're not plugging in. Sure. They're not coming to.
Now, I know for men, that's a hard thing to learn is trust. I mean, that's why a lot of men's group, some flourish, but a lot of them die on the vine before they even get started because men are so much, don't want to say isolated, but they're so much, we don't need, I tell you what, you want to get men together, have a campfire.
Yeah.
You know, that brings men together, mm-hmm. you know.
A lot of men that wouldn't turn them on at all.
No,
but actually, yeah, I think
you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
You know, we're still primal in a lot of ways.
Ted used to go to a meeting where guys got to go to these barn meetings they had, and they cook steaks.
Yeah,
and everybody get a steak. I think that's great too. I don't think you have to go to that extent.
No,
we're rough old guys. Just give us an old cheap hot dog and.
That's great, isn't it?
And a grill, and we're fine. But you know, the thing is, what I'm trying to get is, people out there, you have an opportunity to redirect your life and put it on solid ground, and it only takes that one step. Sure. That's all it takes is one step. My uncle was religious, and he was the biggest crook on the earth. Leave your uncle out of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's fakes, there's charlatans in every walk of life and everything we do. If you go to a doctor and he turns out to be a fraud, does that mean you're never going to go to the doctor again?
No, of course not. And another excuse, there's too many hypocrites in church. Well, where else should they be?
They better be in church.
They better be in church.
And, you know, it's just like in school, your kids have a bad teacher one year. My kids, Mr. Principal, I just want to let you know, my kid won't be attending school anymore because we had a bad experience with that teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do we do that? No. But it's so easy to do to the church because, one, no, we don't think anyone's holding us accountable,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we have to be there. But the truth of the matter is God is holding you accountable. And I would rather, oh, my word, being accountable to God, I mean, that's major.
You know, Steve, I'd rather fall on my knees every day giving thanks to God for all the blessings I have and having a crisis come in my life to where I have to fall on my knees and beg for mercy.
Boy, say that again, Frank, so everyone can hear.
I would much rather fall on my knees each and every morning thanking God for all the blessings that I have than having a crisis come in my life and all of a sudden have to fall on my knees and find out they don't bend. You know?
Amen. And, you know, with me, I look back and I think the crisis, many of them that brought me to the Lord.
Yeah.
And the stuff in my life that was just, there were mountains I never thought I could climb. But he gave me hope.
Sure.
And I don't like to see that hope broken in people's lives. You can see despair in people's faces.
Sure. Right?
They can put on, you know, when I see somebody that is just going out of their way to say, look at me and their personality. When I see somebody that is just going out of their way to get attention, it breaks my heart because I know they're headed for a fall. You know, they're really hurting somewhere inside. You know, Jesus offers us that hope. You know, we've heard so many stories in this lousy, rotten stuff like this, Da Vinci Code from Dan Brown, that book. Remember?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was nothing but false fiction, and he wrote it as if it was fact. And you know, claiming
even had a disclaimer.
Absolutely,
that it's fiction, but people didn't read that part of it.
No. And what made me think of that was that Mary Magdalene, you know, she had a very sordid past.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to Jesus and wholly saw what she was seeking. Why do most people fall into what she fell into? Because they already have a broken heart and they're searching. And she searched in the wrong area. But when she found Jesus, she found the master, she found truth. And there was no relationship that was sordid.
No.
There was no relationship beyond what the Word of God makes it clean. Man will take something so clean and holy and make it filthy.
Sure.
And, you know, for people to attach to that, it's typical Hollywood, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's typical Hollywood. You know, that makes the story. And, you know, how sad that is. A beautiful story of someone seeing redemption from a life of no respect, from a lack of self-respect, coming to Jesus, becoming as pure in heart as she did. And then they want to take that. How filthy is that? Can you imagine today being a woman out there and you're just living, say you were in prostitution and all the things that came with it. Say where you were in drugs that brought on prostitution. And you found Jesus Christ in your life. And your life completely changed, and you gave up everything that was negative in your life. We're having a wonderful life. And then someone starts telling people that it's all some sinister thing, and you're not really who you are. Mm-hmm. How heartbreaking is that?
Yeah, it's very heartbreaking.
And doesn't it seem heartbreaking? So why do we praise people that write this in books, that make it in movies? You don't want to know why? Because people are looking for a reason not to surrender to God.
That's right.
And it's not
even and now, that avenue, I'm sorry, I'm not awake yet.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them an avenue to take so they don't have to make the right turn. You understand?
Mm-hmm. You know, in our country, Frank, we accept things as normal today that 100 years ago would have blushed some. It would have appalled others, and it would have literally destroyed other people to even know what's going on. And now we accept them as normal. It's heartbreaking.
Yes, it is.
It's heartbreaking. And because we accept them as normal, there's an all-out attack on those that would say no.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is wrong. I get so tired of hearing how bad it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of have the blessing and the curse, I guess. But that, I would say the blessing of living in two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
There was the world that we lived in that was much like our world for a long time. And then there's the new modern age that we're in. Sure. They call the progressive age.
Yeah.
So I saw firsthand how women were really treated.
Mm-hmm.
I saw firsthand how families operated. I saw firsthand the relationship between parents and their kids. You know, just being organized and having some form of life that was normal,
mm-hmm.
you know, that used to be where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a shame, because going back to being able to see both worlds, mothers were the keystone of the house.
Well, the mothers have ran the whole family.
You know,
dad might have made major decisions. You got to have somebody where the buck stops. And that was
right.
That. But don't mark my words.
If mom wanted something, mom got it.
Well, and she was, but she also operated. They operated as a family under a sense that this is what is good for the family. It wasn't anybody going out on their own saying, "I need, please."
Yeah,
because they were working to take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, I listened to her many times over the years talk about some of her greatest stories were the times she met with all of her friends. I can't even remember their names. There was Ernest Thurston and Wilma Gray and Laura Murray, and the list goes on. And the point is, why do I know these names? Because my mom talked about the joy of the time they spent together, sharing each other's family issues, sharing, studying the Word of God, going to, they went, a lot of times they would go to, conference together or a women's thing. And just, she talked out with a sparkle in her eye. There was so much of that stuff that went on in times past.
Mm-hmm.
And now everyone seems to be out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that, you know, you're not going to put yourself out there and risk getting hurt to help a neighbor or a friend because, hey, I gotta take care of me. It used to be when people took care of people.
Oh, that's right.
When a farmer lost his crops, mm-hmm. or a tractor went down, another tractor showed up with a neighbor.
Sure.
You know, when someone would get sicker in the hospital, the neighbors came in and did their fields.
Mm-hmm.
We see some of that today, and there still is some of that. But my point is, quit throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Quit saying that anything prior to this age was some kind of chauvinistic racism. It just wasn't true. Well,
I look back at my mother's life, and I can see how God had intervened from the time she was a small child when both parents were hospitalized and they separated the kids. 11 siblings all went out to different people. And Mom served as basically as a servant in various relatives' houses and stores and whatnot, but here to keep. But God was training her and showing her how to be a homemaker at that time. Not only did she bring the skills that she learned, such as cooking, canning, preserving, stuff like that, but also how to nurture. And Mom, you couldn't get by anything with Mom, you know. But Mom was always there when we needed her, you know. And for sons, I think it's a disgrace for sons who do not speak to their mothers.
Oh, my.
Heartbreaking.
How hard. You know, Mom's mom. I don't care what she's done, Mom's mom.
Mom's mom.
You know,
and the last person in the world that would turn against somebody, their son, is a mother. The whole world can hate their son, but a mother is always loyal. But where's the son?
Absolutely. Hey, Adam, let me sit you out there, buddy. Adam. I'm just trying to catch the time in.
Adam.
Right here, right here, gentlemen.
Where are we at time-wise, buddy?
Oh, about 8-9 minutes or so.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. But anyway, yeah, getting back to, you know, and what we're talking about here, you know, it's so hard that, you know, and I will bring up racism. And what reason I'm bringing that up is because we live in a small town. This is one of those. I live in a small town, America, and of course we're a suburb of big town, America.
Where did we grow up?
Huh?
We grew up in a big town.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And we're automatically labeled as racist because it's just inherent. It's there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the truth of the matter is, there is no racism here.
Seriously, there is.
I mean, I look at our church and our people, and I'm not talking about just blacks. I'm talking about orange, pink, brown. Sure. You know, I think we're part. What are we? Milk of magnesia, color.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Anything. But the point is, people. We're people, and you know, it's the people that keep bringing race to the forefront. And honestly, it's not black people.
Mm-hmm.
It's white people wanting power,
sure,
and using black people to get power. Mm-hmm. It's keeping the race issues stirred all the time.
Yep.
Rather than trying to solve the heart problem of this world and get into the lives of these young people, I've been watching the news. Well, it's on in the morning. I don't watch it. Surely turns on, catch the weather, and it just seems to be in the background. And I try to find the one station that won't make me so mad I want to throw a wrench through it. But through the screen. Do we have screens anymore? But anyway.
I don't know.
Shooting after shooting after shooting after shooting, sure, day after day after day after day. And 90% of them are in the black community. Now, did I just say something racist? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, how heartbreaking for a mother raising her children in that community, knowing the odds of them not just getting involved in something to get shot, but being an innocent bystander and getting shot. And the thing I'm getting at is this, Frank. We need to be reaching those people. We need to be reaching those kids on a heart level, on a young level, on a teaching them to love and to care. And there's hope. There's an issue here that is not about bang, bang, bang. You know, it's real funny that the president made a comment during one of the last shootings that you know, Japan only had one shooting the entire year because, you know, they outlawed guns when clear back in...
Right after World War II.
Right after World War II. Yeah. No, but try looking up. Do you realize how many mass burnings they had?
Oh, quite
the stabbings they had? Look, don't fool people. Their murder rate is as high as anywhere else.
And if a person wants to kill somebody,
exactly,
they'll find anything available.
So the reason I'm saying this is not to sit here, I'm not sitting here promoting guns.
Sure.
What I'm saying is this, that there's a heart problem in this world, and that's where we need to reach people. Yeah. Should it be very hard for these people to get their hands on guns? Yes, it should. But I'm saying if they don't have them, they're going to use something else.
That's right.
If you want to kill someone, there's a way to do it. I'm sorry, there just is. You can't hide every sharp object in the world or blunt object. You know, it's just the bottom line. It's the truth. And what I'm saying is that it's a heart problem. If you got to you got to take care of the root problem.
Yeah.
You know, you can spray weeds with something that's going to wilt the right way. They're going to come right back up because the root had been taken care of. You got to do something to kill the root or to get to the root of the problem. And that's what we have to do. And that's why we are talking to you and offering that situation where you say, Lord, you take control of my life. And you know, get in a good group of good Bible study of people that actually study the Word of God and don't just use it as a backdrop to promote themselves. There's a lot of churches today where you'll never even see a Bible. And, you know, that's not a church. I mean, that's part of the problem in America today. Is we have skewed the definition of church. We have changed it from being the body of Christ that it was meant to be, which means those who accepted Jesus Christ, turned, repented, and followed him. That is the church. To something that if there's a building and there's windows and people come together and talk about religion, that's a church. That is religion.
Yes.
That truly is religion, but it's not a church.
That's right.
It's not the church. You know, as Christians, we were first called Christians in Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
And what they meant by that, we weren't called Christians by other Christians. We were called Christians by those that didn't follow. And it was meant in a derogatory sense for those that would follow Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They called them Christian followers of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we became Christians. And now it is a positive term, not a negative term. At least it should be. But, you know, as we just have a couple minutes left, I just want to share with everyone that, you know, here at the church, we do love people. Get online. You can go to, what's our church page? Facebook page? Community Christian Fellowship Church. Community Christian Fellowship Church.
And you might have to type in Prospect because there's a few others like that.
Prospect CTF will get you there.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I just left my mind for a minute. But, you know, or you can go to the pastor spot. Or you know, keep in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're out there, if you're listening, you know, if you want to know truth, you have any questions, you want to challenge me on something, I welcome it because maybe we'll both learn something.
Cool, yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of good out there. We need to seek it. You know, I put the offer out there that if you wanted to start a neighborhood church just in your neighborhood or you were solid with that and you just wanted to get a Bible study going or something moving in your neighborhood, get a hold of me and I'll try to help direct you in that way. You know, that's where it's going to start. It's going to be grassroots. You want to save America? Let's get to the grassroots of changing who we are internally in our heart. And then come out of that point where we're going to come from. You know, nothing is better than something that comes from
what's pure, that whole song, pure joy, joy?
I got the joy down my heart. Down my
That's
heart.
Right. That's where it all starts.
That's where it all starts. You know, we start with purity. We have something to work from.
Mm-hmm.
We start with a mess, and we're going to stay with a mess. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And quit thinking that you have to keep one foot in the church and one out. You know, I go to church, but I have my fun. In the world, you're not in the church, folks. If that's you,
it's true.
I've often said that you can live in the world and be a Christian, but you better feel like a fish in the water.
That's right.
Because if God has changed your heart, you got to think differently. You got to love other people. You're about people. You got to love children too.
Mm-hmm.
Children, you know, they breaks my heart seeing abused kids. I just can't. That's something I cannot deal with. And when people put themselves over the lives of a child, it rakes me over the coals.
You know what warms my heart is during the service you hear children.
Oh, we had a baby because inside a new baby,
yeah.
And she's been here once before with her mama, little McKenna, and she was just. I listened to the tape of the message from Sunday, And the first part of it, they were right up front, and all I heard was jitter jabber. I just loved it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that tells me the church is healthy.
Oh, absolutely. You want to see a dead church, you see a church that has no kids in it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's many.
But, you know, there's still people today, Frank, in the church that would want to come in, have everything very solemn, have someone standing up there bellowing in a choir voice, you know, choir songs, and then, yeah, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Are we alive?
I was going to mention something, but I will. Remember there is one church association that has the Council of 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know which one I'm talking about. And a church I was attending that time was putting on the local conference for that.
Mm-hmm.
And one person had just been elected to the council. He came in and, gee whiz, I mean, he was all smiles and greeting everybody and just had an outgoing personality. I thought, boy, this guy's not going to make it on this council. You know, Dad saw the same person about 2 years later, and he looked just like the rest of the members. Where's the joy?
Be careful. That's
right.
Yeah, we really do. Hey, it's been great being on here today. Adam, I think we're about there, aren't we, buddy?
Yes. Time always flies when you have fun, as my mama said. Great program, and thanks again, Pastor Steve. Be sure to listen every Friday morning, about 9:15 a.m. until 10 Eastern for the Pastor's Spot. Previous episodes are available on our website, wwgh1071.com, and the CCF.
Go to Archives.
Yes.
Go to Archives, and we're right there with the first group.
And the CCF broadcast every Sunday between about 12:15 and 1, right here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.